How you doing, church? Come on, let's stand. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for God to move. Are you good this evening? Yeah, the front row is good. Anyone else good this evening? All right. I'm excited for this series, 101, Christian Basics. Just the fundamentals of what God wants to do in our life. It's going to be good, I believe. If not, lie to me. Let's just pretend we got something out of it. Amen. Come on. Some of the left side's like, nope. We won't do it. If it's not good, we're not smiling. So it's going to be good in Jesus' name, I pray. And are you ready to pray? Come on, let's do it. Father, I pray that you move in this series, God, that you give us practical steps that will lead us to our best day. Father God, I pray that it helps us, Lord God, shift where we are to where we need to be. And I just pray you speak to all of us, Lord God, that you speak to me, that you move me how you want to move me in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. You can take a seat. So good. 101. All right. I was thinking as I was getting ready for the message, I was thinking through just phases of my years of being a Christian, right? And how like there was just years where they were my fundamental years. And I remember, so I don't know if you know my story, but basically I didn't really grow up a Christian. I definitely grew up believing in God for sure, but I was scared of him because my first ever experience, I've got two memories of being in church, right? They're random as like at, I think I was 7. And one of my memories is that at the church that I went to for like a month, there was a Korean church that rented the bottom area. And so you'd walk to kids' church and there was a Korean church. And the Korean church, at whatever time we would walk to kids, was always eating McDonald's as a congregation. But they would all be eating it. And this is what stuck to my mind. Don't even know why, but this is... A 7-year-old stood out to Christopher Carmona, was they would eat it in the wrapper. Like they would use the wrapper as a like way of holding it. That's my first memory. My second memory is tambourines. A lot of, like, it was a Spanish church, so there was just a lot of hips moving. And at about 7, you're about this high, so it was the danger zone. You know what I mean? You're like, tambourines are flying off every part of the body. Like, it's just going, right? That was Tambourine Sunday, as I like to remember it. And then I remember going back down to kids, and my sister was my kids' leader for a minute, and then, because she was the one that got saved and brought us to that church, right? So she found Jesus. She brought all of us because, like, that's just, I don't know, she just did that. And but then she quit kids, and I had another kids' leader, and the kids' leader, I don't know if they found Jesus. And maybe they had Joy, but Joy might have been just a relative. You know what I mean? But they weren't. It wasn't like real, right? So I just remember like, it was just, that was my experience, right? So I didn't really kind of understand church. So I believed in God, but I think in that same kids thing, there was like, they did this flannel graph. Does anyone know what a flannel graph is? You just get flannel and you stick it and there's like cutouts of altars and Jesus and lambs and soldiers. It was cutting edge in those days. And I remember they had just this altar and I tuned out, but I just tuned back in when God was consuming with flames. And I was like, that to me looks like a God that I do not want to upset. There is flames. He's consuming stuff. So from that day at age 7, I said, we stopped going to church. I said, I will never try another church because what if I go to the wrong church and flames? Like that was my perception of God. I was like, I don't want the flames, so I'm just going to stay out of it, okay? I believe in you, but I stay out of it. So anyway, fast forward, I'm just like, my life is just like absolutely don't understand church. Like I'm like nightclubbing, I'm like selling stuff, aka secondhand goods, aka we borrowed them from someone, aka they never give us permission, you know? And that was my life. And so basically church was new to me. Like I didn't even know. Like church, I got there late the first day and I walked all the way down the front in front of the pastor as he's preaching, you know? I'm just like, you know what I mean? I get there, like I don't understand anything that's happening. I just don't get church, you know? Even to the point where then I get saved, I start serving, but I show up to serve on a Sunday. I show up still drunk from Saturday/Sunday. I went through the both of them. If you're going to do something, no, don't. That's terrible advice. It's terrible advice, terrible advice. And anyway, that was my life, right? Like that's what I came to. And then all of a sudden I start coming to church and like all my friends are like like just perplexed. Like, why is Chris not like selling secondhand goods anymore? You know what I mean? Like, why is he always at this church thing? And they just would ask me the simple questions like, you know, like, what's changed? Like, what's changed? Like, what's so good about church? What's so good about God? Like, they'd be like, one of them would be like, it's the girls, eh? I'm like, no, it's not. It's just literally, I love Jesus. Okay, all right. You love Jesus. All right. So, honestly, could only answer this. The thing that I look back and know is the things I found myself in changed. Like, the places I found myself in shifted. Like, I found myself in crazy situations all the time. Like, I remember one day, I just got a memory. Now, if you are the judging type, you're going to have a field day in this service. But I remember one day, me and my friends, for some reason, we just walked into a gas station back when they had payphones. But it was those little payphones, you know, the ones that are, like, just kind of this tall. We just walked in and walked out with it. There was cameras everywhere, but it just felt like a good idea at that moment. You know what I mean? I always found myself in a fight, always. And my friend mainly would be the one that wanted to fight. And I remember this one night, we're like both about the same height, so, you know, giants. And he literally picks a fight with two guys that are like at least 6'4". So anyway, I get into this fight. I grip my teeth so much that I chip my teeth. I chipped my own tooth. I kicked my own butt. You know what I mean? Like, just, this is my life. Always just crazy things from, like, places where I'm in, like, car accidents through to, like, one day and on the crazy side of things. Like, I just found myself with friends, and I come over to see their, like, to hang out with my friends because I would go to see my mother on the other side of Sydney and stay over there for a weekend because my mum and dad are separated. And I come back, and they're watching a reenactment of themselves on what we call Crime Stoppers. What do you guys call that? America's Most Wanted? Or... Crime Stoppers, right? We're on Crime Stoppers out here. That's my American accent. And, like, I just think this, that when I didn't know God, I found myself in some crazy places. But I also found myself in crazy things. Like, I found who I was in women. Like, I found myself in being accepted. I found myself in never being alone. Like, what my friends said, what my friends did, what society did. Like, I found myself in being devoted to a soccer career. Like, I found myself in it. And once I went to church, what I found myself in absolutely shifted. So I want to speak to you from the subject tonight in our 101 series, what you find yourself in. What you find yourself in. Because the areas that you find, the circumstances you find yourself in are a byproduct of what you find yourself in. I don't know if you're tracking, right? You're like, I found myself in some crazy scenarios that, man, thank God, the difference between me and some people that are locked away are that I never got caught, you know? So therefore, it changes my perspective on grace with a lot of people. The fact I don't have a record is just because no one found out. And sometimes we look at people and we look at their mistakes and we judge them pretty harshly, but the difference is we just didn't get found out. We just didn't fall pregnant. You know what I mean? That's the biggest difference. And it's crazy because what I found myself in was always a byproduct of what I found myself in. So I found myself in all these different places, and it was because I found myself in needing acceptance from others. I found myself in, I can't be alone. I found myself in alcohol. I found myself in going out. I found myself in this, like, so-called soccer career because, like, it was the one thing I thought I was good at. And I've got to say this, what you find yourself in will determine what you run for. What you find yourself in will determine what you stand for. What do you find yourself in? I guarantee that an easy litmus test for what you find yourself in is where you find yourself most often. So, do you find yourself most often on your knees praying? Or do you find yourself most often scheduling and planning? Do you find yourself at your workplace more often? Or do you find yourself in the house of God? Do you find yourself in, like, a relationship? Or do you find yourself in your singleness? Wherever you find yourself more often is a great reflection of what you really find yourself in. And so I want to read something that we see in John, and then I want to read you a few verses, because I think the number one concept we're going to go for tonight is finding ourselves in community. Because the community was the major thing that shifted for me, and therefore, because where I was planted shifted, what I was receiving changed with it. Because, like, you just can't help but, like, talk like people. Like, when I lived in Sydney in the rough area with my mom, I spoke different. And then when I started, like, living in the southern area where everyone's just by the beach, beaches just make people chill. People who don't even want to talk properly. They're just like, For real, you'd be like, hey, man, how's life? So I say, hi. Are you... I don't know if you're yawning or if you're communicating. I don't understand. What are you doing today? Just kind of like, oh, chill, blah, blah, beach, aye. Here's the thing. 4 years living there, I'm like, yeah, hey, so sick, hey. Like, I never knew what awesome was. Man, that's awesome. I have never said the word awesome till I got saved at Hillsong Church. Then next thing you know, I'm hanging out with my friends. They're like, yeah, so sick, hey. I'm like, awesome. What's awesome? I don't know. He is. Like, everything changed. Even to the point where, like, my language changed. And amongst some friends, I was negative. Amongst others, I was like a wellspring of awesome positivity. What do you find yourself in? Because where you find yourself in is a byproduct of what you find yourself in. So let's read the verse. It says this. I am the true grapevine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. Notice this. Let's not get this wrong. Let's not get this the wrong way around. I will remain in you, therefore remain in me. He basically says, if you remain in me, I'll stay close. Meaning, he doesn't walk away, we do. Do you know what I mean? He doesn't not find ourselves with us, we find ourselves away from him. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Isn't that a good verse? Because I think that maybe some of the fruit that you don't like that's in your world might have to do with the vines that you're attached to. Because, like, you might be attached. Man, it's funny because literally every single weekend it was just punching anything. Don't even know anymore because I'm so drunk. I'm just punching. Just punching. I know a fire's going to break out somewhere. Then I get, my worldview was this. Everybody always wants to fight me. I got one of those fight me faces. I literally believe that. Got a fight me face. Ugh. Going out to a nightclub again. Someone's going to fight me. There he is. And in Australia, we think a good night is if you, like, get drunk a bit and have a blue. A blue is a fight. So Aussie culture, like Aussie guys, like, we'll go to the local. Local's our, like, closest club. You guys are so, you're like, what? Josh, right? Aussie's another level, right? So you go out, you see someone, all right, let's go. You punch on a little bit, and whoever wins, as long as you both get up, you buy him a beer. It doesn't make sense. You need to go. You got me. You got me. Yeah. You know, like, random. So I believed, literally, this world, man, I got so negative, I was like, can't even go out. So much negativity in the world. Just want to, like, hang out one day. Just want to just have peace. But the world's against me. Funny that once I detached and severed the connection between my old friendships and started these new friendships, crazy. It's like God changed my face because nobody wanted to fight me anymore. He changed my fight me face. It was amazing. He delivered me from my fight me face. Praise the Lord. That's my testimony today. God will remove the fight me face from you. The reality is, I severed some things and connected to others. Number one, what do you need to sever and what do you need to connect to? I know, 101 basics. But here's the thing. If you don't take account, aka reconcile some of your connections, you also might not understand where some of your fruit is coming from. And sometimes we sit there and we're like, man, but I go to church. That's cool. That's cool. You could go to the gym. Doesn't make you fit. Yeah, but man, I've been like, I go places all the time. Like I went to, I sat in the accounting school and still, no numbers ability. Sucks. Literally, I have walked through the Chicago Institute of Art and rubbed myself on all the artwork. Went home and drew, and guess what? Nothing. Yeah, because that's not how it works. Just because you're there doesn't mean you get what it's got to give. It is your connection that determines what you take. So maybe, yes, you are in church, and yes, you are in your community of faith, and yes, you believe, but guess what? From 14 to about 19, I believed. From 14 to 19, I believed, but from 14 to 19, I was still stealing, still doing drugs, still drinking heavily, still, like, committing crimes, like, still sleeping around, still. From 17 to 19, I still did all that. And you know what shifted? Somehow, at the same time as delivering me from my fight me face, once I severed relationships and connected to new ones, it's like I got it all of a sudden. Here's the crazy part. Do you know how many years I prayed for those things to go away? Sometimes you have a prayer issue. Other times you have a practical issue. And if you pray, you've also got to match it with practicals as well. We sometimes sit here and we're like, that's like, we go to church. If we went to the gym the same way we went to church, we wouldn't, and said the same things, people would look at you and be like, smack. Like this, right? So I've been going to the gym, man. I just know what it is about my body. Won't respond. Really? Yeah. How often do you go? Flipping 4 times a week. Early morning. Okay. You're taking protein all the time. Take it with me. Okay. Wow, nothing. Nothing. Are you sure? Here are my before and after photos. Oh. You look like you've gotten bigger, but not in the best way. Okay, walk me through. What do you do at the gym? I just show up. Okay, do you bench press? I sit on the bench press. Do you use the treadmill to rest my drink on? I got to put my protein shake somewhere. And I'm telling you, it doesn't work. I've gone to fitness. I've gone to Export, which is all the nightclubbers gym. It's true. It's true. I've been to Lifetime. I've been to Wicker Park Fitness. I've even been to the Y. Rocky looks like he went to the Y. And look at Rocky. That's 4 gyms. No gyms are good for me. It's just my body. I'm just not meant to shift. My body's just not meant to grow. Therefore, I'm just going to find completion and enjoyment in what I am, because maybe I'm sick of warring with myself because this is who God seemed to have made me. Maybe I'm just going to embrace what I am. Change all of that and say it about church. Just because you sit in a service doesn't mean that you're getting connected. Getting connected to a small group is the equivalent of bench press. Showing up early and hanging out and staying later is the equivalent of the treadmill. Coming in and finding someone to speak into your world is the equivalent of a personal trainer. Serving is your real day application of your fitness. Isn't it funny? Reading the Word of God is your diet. You ever gone to work out without shifting your diet? Gosh, you never get more angry at yourself than in that moment. I want to beat up Chris that was at Small Cheval at 5 a.m. when I'm on the treadmill. I'm like, I hate you, Chris. Let me find you at Small Cheval again. It's going to be on. I'll kick your butt. Because it's so frustrating, right? I'm like, the other Chris I do, this has got nothing to do with anything other than I hate this Chris. I hate post-wedding Chris. because he just takes off his suit and throws it. Like, I'm never going to have to do another wedding. Guess what? I never wear suits, so it's not till the next wedding that I'm like, where's that suit? Crumpled. Where are you post-wedding, Chris? It's probably at Small Cheval. Who knows? My point is this. We say some pretty radical things about church, yet we're not connected to the vine. And we start to think that church is this incredible incubator where you could sit in and all of a sudden everything shifts, but it's not. In fact, healing doesn't work that way. Healing looks like what will you sever and what will you connect to? And as you connect, you produce new fruit. As you produce new fruit, you now have something that proves to you that you are in good places. Because the Bible says it this way. A good tree can only produce good fruit. A bad tree can only produce bad fruit. You cannot get bad fruit from a good tree and good fruit from a bad tree. So when we are getting bad fruit, we've got to realize there must be a bad connection somewhere. Just because we sit in small group doesn't mean we're in small group. Because there's people that will sit in a small group every week. Yet, are you sitting in front of a leader or sitting in front of an entertainer? Are you sitting in front of a leader or sitting in front of a host? Are you sitting in front of a challenger or are you sitting in front of a justifier? At the end of the day, we could do this till Jesus comes back. But we're not going to get any fitter. We've got to understand that basics of following Jesus is connection and severing. As we connect, find yourself in your relationship with Jesus. The Bible says to love him, to love our neighbor as he loves us, or as we love ourselves. First love him, then love your neighbor as you love yourself. It's teaching us that we find our true identity in Jesus. So let me ask you this. Are the things that Jesus is saying about you enough? If they're not, are you truly connected? And if you are connected, are you truly digesting? Imagine if I tried to benefit from food by simply chewing it and spitting it back out. I got the flavor. That's all I need. Chris, that's really disgusting. I never want to go to a restaurant with you. Trust me, you don't. That's what we do though. We get the verses that feel great, and they got to feel great, but they also got to go deep. This is what I learned. Speaking on that point, number two, the things we focus on must shift. So I noticed this, that when I get saved, I had to shift the way I thought about relationships. I had some crazy ideas about relationships, like wild. And I'm there in a little new Christian grow group where everyone's been a Christian all their life, and here's Chris. Still got my shiny shirt on from the club, right? Loved my shiny shirts. A little bit of stretch to them, brilliant. So bad. I don't know what he was thinking, that Chris. But I remember I'd be saying stuff. They'd be saying, like, guys, we've got to just you got to find someone. And you're going about calling. I'm like, girls calling. Right. All they want is someone's going to do stuff for them. I was like, and all the guys are like, trust me, man. They're the worst. Trust me. This is how the world works. This is how relationships work. I won't even mention some of the things I said in Grow Group because I'm too embarrassed to say them in front of you. But needless to say that everybody in my Grow Group was like this. I was so oblivious, I was like, dropping knowledge. You're picking up what I'm putting down, aren't you? Hey, close your mouths, thank me later. I literally was so out there. And honestly, I also struggled with the way I viewed relationships. It's funny, they went from being an actual meaningful connection to just being something physical. Now I'm in this world of Christianity and I've got to change my mindset. You know what's funny? God challenged me. And he just said this to me, driving home from college, because I got accepted into college while they shouldn't have accepted me into college. They accepted me on a proviso. Like, you mess up once, like you blink out of time with the songs in the worship, you're gone. Which was fine because I tend to go all in or all out on anything. So I just went all in. It's funny because when Audrey came, she was like Christian all her life. And she comes to Bible college and we had a rule. You're not even allowed to drink wine. Audrey's got cups of wine. I'm like this. Oh. I would. She'd drink. I was like, that is just wrong. Meanwhile, God's like, mate, you've had enough for a lifetime, okay? Calm down. Calm down. And she didn't get drunk. She just had wine. And I was like, heathen. So judgmental when you forget what God saved you from. So it's funny, God said this to me, driving out of college, he said this, what your eyes see, your mind will focus on. What your mind focuses on will drop to your heart. Stop looking at certain things, it will change what you think about, which will change what you feel about. So I literally started doing this thing, didn't understand that the Bible in Psalms, when it says, Selah, stop, pause, meditate. I didn't realize that the Bible said meditate. You know what meditating is like? Meditating is like sitting at a table, putting food in your mouth, chewing on it, and then swallowing it. Oh, crazy revelation, Chris. I do that all the time. Cool. Now let's think of reading the word that way. Because sometimes we're chewing, oh, this is so good. Gosh, that's good. I'd have more of that. Ah, feel invigorated. Let's go work out. I tasted protein. I'm ready for days. We taste things, but do we ingest them? Why you want to have a Bible reading plan is so that you would shift what you're looking at, so that you would shift what you're thinking about, so that you would shift what you feel about. I feel differently about humanity now than I did before I got saved. I was the horriblest person ever. I enjoyed telling people, hurting people. I was one of the best at cutting people with my words, and I loved it. You annoyed me, cut you. I wanted to. My goal was this: if I cut you deep enough, you'll never come back, and then I'm good. I hated people. Yes, a pastor. Don't know why. That's where I was. I was so messed up in my life. And why do I share so vulnerably also those moments? Because I just know that if we peel back the reformed, changed layers, we can get back to the image of what some people actually see themselves as in a moment like this. And I can show you that you're not too far. And that you're often just a few basics away from your best day. That's why they're called fundamentals. I could speak to this fact knowing soccer well. Like, there's many people that have a lot of skill, and there's a lot of like culture around like the new like short game that you're playing is just one-on-one. Everyone does all these tricks and you go through the legs and everyone's like, cool. But those same people can't play in a real league. Because if you don't know fundamentals and you don't have physicality to you, you can't do it. Fundamentals are the game at its rawest, but they're also the game at its most beautiful. We all want the most amazing revelations, but we don't often love the most basic things that make it so beautiful. It's not always the message that'll blow your mind that'll change your heart. It's often the message that is so simple in nature that is often the very thing you could build on. Fundamentals. So when you read your word, do you give it enough time to think about it long enough that it goes from here to here? Oh, Chris, when I read my word, it's like, I don't know, I just don't get anything from it. You know why? This is what the Bible says to us. It says that our conscience is so seared that we don't even have a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit anymore. So you're trying to bring something new. And let's just even say this. The Bible calls him living water, right? And it also equates us in Luke, it's called the parable of the sower. It equates to four different grounds and how seed is sown. And there's good soil, and then there's like others that are not considered good soils. Four types of soil. And I just think this. We live our life without Jesus, aka living water. We live our life without water in general for our soul. So the soil of our heart goes from being soft and just rich, the way it was birthed to be, enough that you could simply just drop a seed. He doesn't push seeds, the sower, he drops seeds. Soft enough that when he drops seed, it goes deep enough to survive. But now go to a life of hardship, a life without water. And the soil of your heart gets so hard that now seeds don't go deep, they stay on top. So when we're reading the word, aka good seed, we're reading it and it's just bouncing and we're like, I just don't get anything out of it. You know why? Because you got to keep bringing God in and you got to keep reading. It'll take about maybe a day or two. Sometimes it only takes 15 minutes. And you got to keep reading and reading and meditating until basically something happens where you basically soften the heart enough to receive what God is giving you. You're not different to anybody else. Don't let the devil lie to you. You're not the one person that can't get anything out of the word. I promise you this, you stand in front of it long enough, just like any gym equipment, you use it long enough, it'll bring something. It's just what it does. Now, let me even reference the power of this. So I was used to being a fast food Christian, but it wasn't changing my body type, so to speak. So I was frustrated because I had anxiety, crippling anxiety. Like, you know the kind of anxiety where you wake up and there's no reason, but you got to move. You just got to go. You got to go, man. You got to go because, but then you also know there's nowhere to go, which puts more anxiety. And then depression, the type that just seems to like punch you in the gut and you just, all life is zapped. This is what I was living with at the same time. And I remember I was in Bible college and I was just frustrated because every Christian was so happy. You know, like, I'm like, you look at me like that one more time. And then they say stuff like this, the word of God is alive and living, the word of God. I think one week I would have heard the word of God is alive and living so many times that I wanted to tackle the lectures. Like I was so frustrated. And here's the crazy thing. It's like God knows how to activate you. My number one strength is competition. And God, knowing that I would get frustrated, I think placed lecturer after lecturer, college student after college student, message after message, the word of God is alive and living. The word of God is alive and living. I felt like it was one of those movies where like a bird comes by, chirps, and it's like alive and living. I'm like, what? Open up a fortune cookie, alive and living, you stop. So I got so angry, I go home, I'm like, fine, God, all right. Your word's alive and living, all of it, done, fine. I sat on my lounge with my legs crossed. I said, I'm reading Leviticus and I'm only giving you four lines. Four lines, I'm going to read them over till this breaks. Can I just, I wasn't even thinking. I was so angry, engulfed, but a good anger in a sense, because it was like, I've had enough of this. And you said, have you had enough in your life that has pushed you around long enough that you've said, I've had enough of this and you said. God's good with that. He wants you to get it. He's like, finally, they get it. Yes, tag me in. I sat on that lounge. I don't even think I got to four minutes. I think I got to like 1 minute of reading four lines over and over. And can I tell you, it was one of the most supernatural things I've ever experienced. It was just like, bam, anxiety, depression gone, and I was put back to what I used to be. Never lapsed. Everything went back to normal. Meditation, 101. Just get it in you. Read it. What do you find yourself in? Number three, find yourself in prayer. But kind of prayer that's not throwaway prayer. All you married people understand the difference between a compliment. All you married men understand. This is dangerous ground, men. Don't you leave me, okay? Don't you leave me. I already know how it goes. Men will agree with you until you hit a sore spot with their wife and they're like, I don't even know what he's talking about, honey. Should we leave this church? Okay. I know this. A throwaway comment is not as valued at all, if any, value, very little, as an intentional, thoughtful, relevant comment. So I used to say this to Ords. You're so hot. You're just hot. She'd be like, okay, you're hot. All right. No, you're hot. All right, I get it. No, you're so hot, all right? Okay, appreciate that. One day she stops, she goes, why am I hot? Is that all? I was like, There has to be more to me. I was like, yeah, there is. Your body's hot. She starts, she's like, what do you actually love about me that makes me different? And it's funny. You know what I had to do, as bad as this is? I had to actually walk away because I actually really did think she was so hot that I was like, she's so hot. I never got past it. Random memory in Bible college. I couldn't stop talking to her. She's worshiping. I'm like, she's like, do it one more time. She's like, let me worship. Back to the lounge with Leviticus again. Find yourself in meaningful prayer. Meaningful prayer requires this: a heartfelt, deeply founded desire communicated to God. Point number one of that three, okay? Heartfelt, deeply desired, like deep desire communicated to God. Because when you pray and you think this is prayer, so God, I just kind of hope that you help me today. I hope that you just fix some things today. Man, God, it would be so nice if I got a new job today. God, it'd be so nice. Sometimes that works, especially when you're a new Christian. But as he wants you to go deeper, he's starting to look for something more. And Audrey did this great message once on the power of prayer and how that when Elisha was praying once, they said when they did the research on it and she was kind of like doing all the background, he apparently would put himself in this like birthing position, like just kneeled up and would pray with everything for the rain to come. And it never left me. You know when a message hits you, but you don't know why, but you go, something there on that one. Something there on that one. What it taught me, and it started a shift in me. And what I realized as I look back is all my prayers that were answered came from a deep place in here. God doesn't want throwaway requests. He's so intentional and he's so powerful and he loves you so much that he's like, eyeball me and tell me what you want. Eyeball me. I'm better than just a quick interaction. I'm more than just a cheap throwaway, give you what you want. Look at me. Because a cheap throwaway is like when you go fishing and you're just like, I got a chance. I mean, there's a line in the water. How often do you pray with a line in the water mentality? Can't get any worse. Can't get any worse. Might as well. Hey, God. Sure wish you'd. I guarantee you find yourself on the corner of your bed. You find yourself on your knees somewhere. And you get before God and you say, God, God of heaven. God who I. Which goes to the second point. You need to pray out of conviction out of who he is. Do you know who he is and what is your conviction? David did it all the time. My enemies, they surround me. How long will you punish me? How long will you allow me out here? But he'd always shift. Nevertheless, I know that you are the God of heaven's armies. I know that you look after me. I know that you'll get me through this. I know you'll deliver me. I know that you will set me upon a mountain. I know. He would always go from real to conviction. Desire, but he would answer it according to what his deep conviction was of God. A lot of us pray, but we pray without conviction. So therefore we go, God, I don't even know if you'll answer this. That's not a good way to start your prayer. You got to start your prayer, God, I know that you'll answer this. That's why I'm bringing this to you. God, you tell me there's a cloud of witnesses in heaven. Then before the witnesses of heaven, before the witnesses of earth, I come to you. And I know that you are God, that you are the Lord of heaven's armies, that you are Jehovah, that you are my provider, that you are my healer. And because of that, God, I stand here before you on my knees and I'm asking you that you would activate on my behalf because I know that you are good and I know that you love me and I know that you're going to answer it. Father God, I pray that you wouldn't just do this, but you would do this so that I would live as a testament to your glory. Don't do a throwaway line. Throwaway lines, what I discovered with Audrey, worked on my girlfriends that had shallow relationship with me. But when I found the one, I was going to spend my life with a woman of depth and substance. A relationship of depth and substance requires something deeper. He is not this deity that's just out there dispensing things you need so that you might believe in him. He's a God who fathered you. Oh, but my life has been so garbage. Like, how could he love me? You have breath. He's not done. You wouldn't even be able to appreciate love of his love if you always just knew love in a sense. I call him Savior because I was in need of salvation. I call him Provider because I needed provision. So now I thank God for my low days, because I would never be able to live at the heights of my high days without the relativity of both. Can I tell you, church, 101, what do you find yourself in? Find yourself in Jesus. Cut off some things and connect to some new things. Find yourself in the Word of God and meditate. Ingest what he is saying. Let it go deep. And if you do them in this order, the third is not a hard one to do. Now when you come to pray, you're praying out of seeds that you've sown. You don't go to the gym without feeding yourself accordingly. Well, then don't go to the throne room without feeding yourself accordingly. Store up the Word of God in here so that it outweighs what's up here. And get before the throne room of heaven and say, God, I'm here. And God, I know that my mind says it shouldn't work. God, I know my mind says it shouldn't work. It shouldn't happen. I shouldn't get out of this. But my God, I know you as deliverer. My God, I am so convicted that you save. I'm so convicted that you love, that you fathered me. This is not just an aloof relationship. You have love for me. I promise you, you'll move more in your life of those three fundamentals than a lifetime of sitting at a podcast. If all you're doing is sitting. 101. And let me just read this for you. In the place that I think fosters this the best. Go to Acts 2:42 for me. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles, miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. Let me just say this. Actually, go to the last verse for me, because it brings context to this one quite well. Just as our bodies have many parts and each part has a special function, so it is with Christ's body. We are many parts of one body, and we all belong to each other. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you are a teacher, teach well. If your gift is encouraging others, be encouraging. If it is a giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Don't just pretend to love others, really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. It's no mistake that it says honoring at the end. There's a verse that says that if you honor a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward. I mention it a lot because it actually is something I really, 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 really believe. In church, there's a reason that People Church, we have Jake preach, we have George preach. There's a reason that we're not like sending our video out to Toronto. We've got Jeff and Micah preaching because we want the church to not focus so much on this man, but focus on the body of believers, right? Because we know that that is the real miracle that God is doing in the house, right? So that's like our biggest, I think it's one of the things we care about most. But the problem is that if you only look at this man, you actually miss what is right to your left, your right, in front, and behind you. When the Bible's saying honor a prophet, it's because a prophet would come with something to give the people that God sent the message to. But people would often not honor the prophet, so they wouldn't receive the gift that he was coming with. The cool thing is this. According to Romans, right here, there would be a teacher. Right here, there'd be someone with a prophetic gift. Right here, there'd be somebody that is generous. And right there, there'd be somebody that could that just has just a gift of faith. There'd be somebody else over here with a gift of leadership. And the crazy thing is, they're your prophets. A prophet is simply someone that comes with something from God for God's people at its highest level of interpretation. Therefore, all those things I mentioned are people on behalf of God with a gift from God for God's people. So when it says honor, it's like, look to your left and right and don't get familiar. Don't get familiar with Shannon because you see her all the time. Don't get familiar with Mel because she's always right there. Don't get familiar with Frank because he's been one of the most faithful. Don't get familiar with the host that opens the door because she's always there to open the door. Don't get familiar. First, understand what they've got to give. And then when you understand what they've got to give, guess what? You get to receive. Why do I cite this verse? A few reasons, and I'll finish with these two. Number one, it says that we are a body. We are like a body, right? So therefore, someone here might be the hand, someone else the ear, a toe. Sorry if you're the toe. Earlobe. Whatever. Eyelashes. We're all different. The thing is this, not one of those body parts is a complete body on their own, and they actually are dysfunctional on their own. Isn't that crazy? Like, when I cut my thumb, Jake's comforting words to me. Remember when I cut it and I just went and preached somewhere because I was like, I literally thought this, if I don't show up to preach because I cut myself with and I need 5 stitches, how do I face Paul in heaven? Fully shipwrecked, and he kept going, and I get there and I'm like, I know you were shipwrecked, but this was deep. I'm just saying. Okay, it was difficult. You don't know. You don't know what it's like. We had internet and planes and stuff, but this was difficult, okay? Like, I can't say that, so I went, right? But Jake's way of comforting me was this. Bro, if you lose that thing, do you know that that's our number one tactile advantage on all of Animal Kingdom? Such a Jake comment. So I'm like, I don't want to lose my tactile advantage. This is terrible. Like, so I started thinking about my thumb. The thing is, the thumb on its own, useless. The hand without the thumb, quite useless. My point is this, find yourself in community. When you are in a Christ-centered community, you will begin to find yourself. Because there are other elements you need to be functional in this house. On your own, you are not as functional as you are when you're in community. In community, your gift now is attached to something else, and it actually brings something. It enables you as well to not have to be everything. You don't have to be the wisest. You've got other people with gifts that are right there next to you to help you. You don't have to know it all because there's someone there with a gift right there next to you. And the problem is this, if we don't connect, we actually will never connect with our best day. Sever yourself from isolation and connect yourself in a community. You do that, and what God gave you will go from feeling like a negative. That's what I find in church all the time. I'm just too competitive. Well, you know what? Maybe he wants to use that competition. On your own, not great, but in a community, and if he gives you a new goal, you might compete for souls, and maybe that might change the world. Oh man, I've always been someone that just, I don't know, I'm good one-on-one. I can never be someone in a crowd. I hate work functions. That's cool. Maybe in work functions you don't make sense, but one-on-one, maybe you're made to sit across from people in church and speak to them and let them know that they're somebody. Maybe your one-on-one could change the world one by one. Everybody has something to give, but when you're on your own trying to do everything, you could be nothing. But when you're in community, your one becomes part of a whole, and now everything works in functionality. Find yourself in community and you'll find yourself. Everything moves. And the last thing is this. The word together was one of the operative words there. As they came together, everything moved. The Bible says that where Christ, where two or more are gathered, so is he. It means that, yes, God is with you on your own, But it seems to be that God is more into us together. Your miracle might be a partnership away. It was people that annoyed me with their statements of Word of God is alive and living. I can name all the miracles in my life and they all came from people. Fractured back, healed overnight. X-ray at 5 p.m., operation 4 a.m., got up at whatever time and they were like, yeah, it was just gone. I don't know what happened between 5 a.m., but it was gone. A small group was praying for me right at that time. There were times I needed finance, somebody was there. There was times I was down and out, somebody picked me up. Can I just tell you, if you find yourself in community, it creates a safe place for these other three things I spoke about. Don't do it alone. You're not made to. If you're going to pray, pray that you got your boldness to connect with people, because everything shifts in that 101. I hope that speaks to you this evening.